this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel, you are the world champion! You are the man!
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
I just want to say a massive thank you to all of our loyal supporters of our podcast. So keep listening for future really cool stuff.
Hello and welcome to the Red Bull Racing Podcast and to round 7 of the 2012 season, Canada. After Monaco, we return to a track that is very fast, very tight and rather dangerous. It has a well-deserved reputation as the home of never a dull moment racing. Long, long straights into hard-braking corners stress both car and driver. Failure, and thus collisions with the barriers, are common here. Based on the Île Notre Dame in the St. Lawrence River, local wildlife often play a part over the race weekend too, with seagulls, groundhogs, and the native brown beaver often forgetting their road safety routine. On this edition of the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their racing weekends. We hear from David Coulthard and Christian Horner, plus we speak to 90210 legend Jason Priestley. First, David Granger caught up with our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, to talk about all things Canada.
So, Sebastian, we're here at Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. You've raced here. What's it like to drive around?
It's a fantastic circuit. I think most of the people really love it. It's a bit of a stop-and-go circuit with long straights, really high speed, and then loads of braking. So you've got to find a good compromise between taking a lot of risk over the curbs, going really close to the walls, but just you've got to keep the car on the road. And when you really push at the limit, it's not easy, but it's definitely a circuit that I really enjoy. And apart from the circuit, the city is fantastic as well.
Have you ever been up to the wall then? Have you ever touched the wall?
Yes, I touched the wall actually a few times, but without having major damage on the car. I think you've got to go close to the wall and you've got to touch it a few times if you want to know where the limit is. If you can carry a few kilometers an hour more into the corner, then it's going to be a few tenths. So you've got really to push it to the limit, and then you've got some free practice to feel the limit, and then obviously from qualifying on you've got to find a good compromise.
Sadly you won't be with us tomorrow. You're flying off. Tell us what you're doing next week then.
I'm going to be racing in the 24 hours of Le Mans, so it's a long week. I've got to prepare it well, and I've got to be there in the morning, so the last possibility was to leave on a Saturday evening, so sadly I'm not going to be there tomorrow.
Are you looking forward to the Le Mans then?
Yes, it's going to be a pretty new thing for me because I've never raced there, but we had the official testing there and it was great to discover the circuit. It's a really long circuit, 14 kilometers over 3 minutes a lap, so I'm really looking forward to driving in the night and fighting the other guys.
And tell us a bit how we can keep in touch with you.
Like always, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm always there.
And what's your Twitter name?
Sebastian_Buemi.
We'll check it out. We'll let you get onto your flight. Thank you very much indeed, Sebastian.
Sebastian Vettel scored an incredible lap time in qualifying over the weekend. David Granger managed to catch DC after the session to see what his predictions were for the Canadian Grand Prix.
So, David, that was quite a spectacular performance by Sebastian. Do you think he's going to convert that this afternoon?
Well, I think what summed it up was Lewis Hamilton, when they were talking with each other at the driver skills, Lewis looked at the time difference and went, what a lap. So I think that for me it's always really nice to see that sort of respect between drivers. You know, I don't think personally there's a bad driver on the grid, but there's obviously at the sharp end there's some exceptional drivers, and I think that you know, Sebastian clearly is one of them, and what he delivered yesterday was absolutely maximising the opportunity he had, and it was a stunning pole.
It's an interesting circuit. It's long straights, tight corners, and the last place you were on the podium. So tell us a bit about what it's like to drive around Circuit Gilles Villeneuve.
It's a track where you need to get your eye in the respect that very high-speed entries relative to where they've just come off the back off in Monaco, and you need confidence on the braking phase because you brake in a straight line really only for a very short period of time, and then you then have to commit turning, and that means leaning on the car, you know, with lateral load whilst trying to aim for an apex on a kerb, and you know that the car will react when it hits the kerb, and then you're in a situation of recovery as you go through the change of direction at the chicanes, and then you know there's another kerb waiting for you, and you know you're trying to basically coordinate a combination of high speed entry, kerb banging, and then the reaction of the car off the kerbs and then hard and early on the gas. And, you know, that is a real skill which is quite unique to this racetrack.
If you were a betting man, who would you put your money on this afternoon?
Well, the majority of the races this year, and I think actually 13 of the last 14 races, have been won by cars starting on the front row. So statistically, it will be either Seb or Lewis that is going to win this Grand Prix. A lot will come down to the start, but more importantly than the initial track position, it's who can make their tyres and the strategy last the longest. Some of the teams are expecting two stops this afternoon. Some are saying it'll be a one-stop race. Obviously, they don't have the concern as to, you know, picking up fuel along the way because they'll start with full tanks. But it'll be a question of who can control the thermal degradation of the tyre, because certainly in terms of wear, the tyres are more than capable of doing a one-stop. But track temperatures, as we speak, are climbing, and it's going to be a hot day.
And thankfully, it's not going to be a repeat of last year.
Yeah, the four-hour delayed race that ended in a spectacular end, of course, where, you know, Jenson Button came through and passed Sebastian on the last lap. But looking at the weather conditions here, it's going to be a dry afternoon. And, you know, although that can be less spectacular in some respects, I think it represents what is Formula One. It's the ultimate challenge of speed, man and machine, you know, against the racetrack.
And finally, have you put your picture on the car for the Silverstone livery yet?
Yeah, I haven't as yet. I haven't managed to decide on exactly how I'd like to be dressed on that picture, whether it would be, you know, what I use behind closed doors, and I should come out and show people how I dress when I'm at home, or whether I should go for my BBC attire. But I'm looking forward to having the BBC team on the side of the Red Bull car.
I think most people like to see the behind-the-scenes stuff, if I'm honest.
It's not pretty with Eddie, I can assure you.
On to the race, and Sebastian came fourth in today's Canadian Grand Prix, with Mark crossing the finishing line in seventh position. The race was won by McLaren's Lewis Hamilton, the seventh different driver of the 2012 season, with Romain Grosjean and Sergio Perez claiming the other two podium places. Here is Sebastian straight after the race.
All in all, I think it was a good weekend for us. We had a very smooth run up to qualifying, a very good qualifying session. Arguably today in the race, we lost a little bit of that edge, but we were thereabouts. It wasn't as if we were losing a lot or we're missing much. In the end, obviously, Lewis decided to go for the second stop. I think we tried then to, you know, get the place back by going on for one stop, same as Ferrari, but it turned out to be the wrong call. So we decided in the end to come in again, which I think was a good call and a great call at the time, given, you know, the position, what you can lose, only seven laps to go, etc. So yeah, all in all, an interesting race again, another winner. I think Lewis deserved to win today, no doubt, but for us, I think we have to learn the lesson, take it on board and make sure we don't do it again and do the step forward in Valencia.
Following Seb over the line were Fernando Alonso, Nico Rosberg and then our man Mark Webber. Here he is after the race.
Well, I knew it was going to be a little bit mixed up. I think we got away well. In the first 10, 12 laps, we had a lot of volume of the engine on the straights and also off the chicanes. I don't know if something was rubbing or weird, never felt it before. So that took a little bit of my attention. Hopefully that wasn't going to cause any bigger problems for the whole race. We were doing quite a few changes to try and clear it, software and stuff. And then, sort of settled on the pace, really, of the other guys once we got going, and they obviously had a nice little gap at that point. We pitted, come out behind the one-stops, obviously lost a lot of time there, but that's normal, that's fair play, behind Perez and Kimi. Yeah, I mean, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, if you push to try and pass, you kill the tyres. If you've got to wait, you wait, and then they're on the same strategy, and you finish behind them anyway. So we were quick at times today, not quick enough for the whole race. Strategy as well, you know, with great hindsight goals, we could have obviously finished a bit further up. I was ahead of Grosjean when I pitted. So, in the end, we drove around, looked after the tyres, go quick, go slow, pit stop, come out where you are, and that was how it was today. We needed more laps at the end to obviously get Fernando and a few other people, but ultimately, people did a better job than us today, and we'll work harder on the next race.
Faces for Charity. Race with us at this year's British Grand Prix. Put your face
on our cars
to help Wings for Life find a cure for spinal cord injuries. Travel at more than 310 kilometres an hour.
Go through high-speed corners pulling 4G.
And complete a lap of Silverstone in less than 1 minute and 35 seconds. Here's how. Take a picture. Go to facesforcharity.com. Upload your photo.
Donate to Wings for Life.
And race with us.
Red Bull Racing
will match your donation.
So what are you waiting for?
Your face on our cars
for an amazing cause.
Be our wingman at this year's
Pretty Strong Prix
and raise money for Wings for Life.
To take part, go to facesforcharity.com. Let's make a difference.
It was sunny for most of the weekend in Montreal, but there was a storm after free practice two on Friday in the paddock, which came very suddenly and caused some damage. We spoke to our senior garage technician, Mark Simpson, about it.
Okay, we stood here now and it's very sunny, it's very calm, very hot, but it was a little bit different on Friday. Just tell us what happened.
Yeah, we were in the garage and we were just going through prepping the cars and pumping fuel out and stuff like that, when all of a sudden a massive storm came in from nowhere, much to everyone's surprise. Wind swept through the garage and unfortunately took some of the panelling that you guys see on the television. So, yeah, it was a bit chaotic for a little while.
And it just came from nowhere, didn't it? I mean, we saw clouds coming over, but it went from very, very calm to just suddenly just hailstorms just going horizontal in the wind.
Yeah, it was coming at you from, you know, sideways. You know, we go to a lot of countries where it can get storms, but you see them coming in. Places like Malaysia, you know it's coming an hour before it hits you, but this was really out of the ordinary. It just came from nowhere.
And how wet did you get?
Very wet, yeah. Unfortunately, I was in my fireproof, so, you know, it was all hands on deck to stop the garage destroying itself, and they get quite heavy when they're wet.
And was there any damage?
We suffered a little bit of panel damage, you know, the stuff that the guys see on the television in the garage, some of those got blown down, but nothing too serious to affect us.
And did you hear that, any problems with any other teams?
Yeah, quite a few teams had the same thing. It caught us all unawares, you know, it wasn't just us. I think some of the hospitality units suffered quite a bit of damage on some of their equipment that was blown over. But there was quite a few teams that suffered.
So luckily that's all behind us now. We've got the race to go today. And then what's involved with your job after the race?
Basically, after the race, it's our job to move all this stuff on back to the UK. So, you know, we've got to pack everything down and get it ready in its flight containers for the flight, which is tomorrow night, I think. It arrives back in the UK on Tuesday morning. And then we're back into work and turn it all around for the next one.
Is it very organised, the way that it's packed up, or is everything just thrown into various boxes?
No, it has to go into its specific box. A lot of the stuff we've got is designed and it only fits in one way. But obviously, flying stuff around the world is expensive, so you utilise what space you've got to the maximum.
So it's quite a military operation then, because there's about 30 of you, isn't there, doing the pack down together?
At the top says 30 of us on pack down. When the cars come back from Parc Fermé, we lose a lot of the guys because obviously they need to prep the cars for flying as well. But yeah, it is quite a military operation. You know, people have to know what they're doing. But these guys have done it quite a few times, so we're pretty good at it now.
And how many years have you been doing it?
This is my 13th season in Formula One.
Formula One attracts many fans. Some of them happen to be celebrities. Jason Priestley from the original 90210 paid a visit to our garage over the Canadian Grand Prix weekend. David caught up with him to see what makes him so passionate about the sport.
Jason, on behalf of Red Bull Racing, welcome to the Canadian Grand Prix. We've just watched Sebastian take pole. Where did you watch this afternoon's qualifying?
I watched Q3 from down in the garage, actually, which was pretty cool because I got to be in there with, you know, with the crew and their reaction to Sebastian putting on pole. It was pretty exciting, man. I've never done that before.
You're not a stranger to garages, though. You're a bit of a racing fan yourself, and indeed an ex-driver. Yeah. How does this compare to the stuff that you've been involved with previously?
There is no garage in the world like a Formula One garage. They're purpose-built, and they're designed just for that purpose, and the way that the crews are able to get things done, and with the speed and ease and efficiency in which they're able to get things done, it's like nothing else. You know, I look back at my racing career and my crews and the crews and the teams that I drove for over the years, you know, it's nothing like a Formula One team. You know, a Formula One team is a well-oiled machine, and not just the guys in the garage, but it's everybody. It's the guys taking care of the logistics, and it really goes from the drivers to the guys who sweep up in the shop back in Milton Keynes. It's pretty remarkable.
Have you been to a race before then, or is this your first Grand Prix?
I have. I've been to many Formula One races. I love this event here in Montreal. I've been to this event actually a couple of times. You know, it seems to me like they've really stepped this up since I was here last time, because this whole scene up here in the paddock club is this is pretty good, man. I, you know, as a guy who's been to a lot of races,
This is the best way I've figured yet to see a race.
So we like to make you welcome. That's the main thing. Tell us about what you're doing away from watching racing then at the moment. How are you filling your days?
Right now I'm in the middle of directing an episode of the television show Haven. Then I'm going to start prep on my first feature film that I'm directing this summer. So I don't really have much on the go. I'm just kind of taking it easy.
You managed to find some weekends to watch some cars go around.
Dude, I always find weekends to watch cars go around. Trust me, I'm one of those guys who lives in Los Angeles who gets up at 4 in the morning on Sunday to watch the race live, because, I mean, I could TiVo it, but I prefer to watch it live. You know, I'm that guy. So it's really a lot of fun for me to be here.
Well, have a good day tomorrow.
Yes, thank you, buddy.
This season is becoming more infamous than any other in history. It's now 7 different winners in 7 different races. Final word belongs to our team principal, Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him after the race.
So, Christian, what are your thoughts after that race?
Obviously, it was a difficult race for us. It got off to a good start. Sebastian in the lead, eking out a lead that got up to over 2 seconds at one stage. But then, quite quickly, he appeared to get into a bit of tyre trouble around lap 14. So we pitted him on lap 15, I think, to go onto the hard tyre. And unfortunately, the warm-up on the hard tyre on the outlap wasn't great. And that enabled first Lewis to get ahead, then Fernando, who both had very quick in-laps. And from there, it was a question of trying to make a one-stop strategy work. It looked like it was achievable, but with 6-7 laps to go, it became evident that there wasn't going to be enough tyres at the end, so we aborted, put a set of softs on and pushed to the end and managed to salvage fourth place. So a difficult afternoon, but nonetheless we've still come away with a positive haul of points for the drivers and in the constructors.
In those final 10 laps, obviously it was quite a late call to bring Sebastian in, but it's also quite a brave thing to do that near to the end of the race. What's the feeling going on the pit wall when you call him to come in with only a few laps left?
Well, it's very difficult because you're running into a position, you're on the podium, 6 laps to go, but there's other cars coming up very quickly, and I think it's very difficult to make that call, but ultimately it was a good job that we did and got fourth place.
Have you enjoyed this race weekend?
It's always fun to come to Montreal. It's a great venue, it's a great track. You know, we performed well yesterday to get the pole. Our first victory in Montreal remains elusive. We'll come back and we'll try just as hard again next year, but it was an interesting race today, a race dominated by strategy and tyre life.
And what's in store for you now this week back in the UK?
It's a busy turnaround for the next race in Valencia, so the factory's blacked out and
getting some sleep,
catching up on a bit of sleep, not too much, because we're into the heart of the development race now, so you know every race we're going to be pushing to get performance on the car.
Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. If you want more action from the paddock or to get the latest news from the team, make sure you check out our website, which is redbullracing.com. We'll be back in Europe for the next race in Valencia in 2 weeks' time. Until then, take care.